This is Michael Welch for CKW, and we're now starting our civic affairs panel. Two of our panelists are joining us. We're joined right now by Trevor Grayeyes, independent writer and editor of thefirstperspective.ca. And
yep, good morning.
Anything else you'd like to add? Or
not right now.
Yeah. City dweller. And also joining us is a community animator from the Social Planning Council and Alberta expatriate.
Christina Don't tell Maisie. Them. I just earned their respect.
Okay. And we'll get going a little bit. This coming Thursday, May the 1st, is when the campaign for mayor officially kicks off. Although I think there are some indications now about who might be running. I don't know. I suppose we can always lay open the door for some surprise candidates, but I think that there was I sent you both an article by Bartley Kivas, which talked about basically the significance of the mayor Sam Cates, and whether he will officially make his decision to run in June, or so he says, but that his presence in the race will essentially change the nature of the race. That if he runs, it'll be about his record. If he doesn't run, it'll be about policy. So I guess I'll just maybe give the two of you a chance to opine a little bit. Are there any signs that he will run again?
Well, I think he's been sort of playing around with the idea, and he's suggested that he might. I'm not sure how many supporters he has this time around as he had previously, which might make a difference for him. I've heard sort of both sides, people, you know, the sort of political people guessing that he might stay in, people guessing that he won't. I think, it was sort of depressing to hear that that we think the race might be about him if he's running and about policy if he's not. Like, I think any mayoral race should be about policy, regardless of who's running.
Do you disagree with that assessment then?
I don't disagree with the assessment. I think it's true that there tends to be, you know, in politics, they'll focus on the personality and the individual, and it's hard to critique an individual if they haven't been in either council or... I think even the previous councillors are at a disadvantage, so they're going to be... They have a record that they're going to be, you know, assessed on, which makes sense. But there also has to be something forward-looking, you know, what are they going to do? And you can base some of that on what they have done. But for the new candidates, I'd really like to hear, what are they actually going to do for our city?
Okay, Trevor, what do you think?
Well, you know... I always find Bart really interesting to read, but I don't agree with him all the time. And this is one of the points where I'm going to depart from him in a way, because what he's trying to say is that if Sam gets on board, then it becomes sort of about him, he could pull in the more the conservative, the business vote, you know, the right of center vote. And that would allow Judy to, you know, supposedly come up the left side.
There's a
but,
side.
But, you know what? The interesting thing, though, is that if you take a look at a lot of the people who have made their intentions quite well known, you know, whether you're talking Scott Fielding or Paula Havoc's Beck, hopefully I said that right, is that they're all on the right side of the spectrum anyway, so they're all scrapping out on the same ideology for the same people who would vote that way. And, you know, I think it's what Christina said was really, really pertinent, is that, you know, a lot of these people... will have a previous record, but, you know, their advantage going into that, yeah, I might have sat on the executive policy committee while these were passed, but that was clearly the mayor's fault. And that would be my line if I were them.
Yeah.
So this election, you know, because civic elections are notoriously just, you know, boring elections. I think this is the most interesting.
Not very well attended by the electorate either.
I don't think this one will be very well attended either, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, just like on that, as far as civic elections are concerned, I mean, I guess there are kind of peaks and valleys in terms of turnout for civic elections. And I don't know, one might think that a civic election, that's probably the one area where when it comes to voting, your vote could actually make a difference, as opposed to the federal level where, you know, it's just, well, okay, here's all the messaging.
So are you advocating we shouldn't vote in federal elections?
I was just thinking
I'm not. Well, I'm not. Well, I guess that's...
You're suggesting our votes don't make a difference sometimes?
Well, I mean...
I'm just joking, but, you know...
Yeah, just that you could get perhaps more of a bang for your buck, and yet it seems that...
It's like the lottery. Your odds are better because there's fewer sort of votes in the pot there, yeah. Right?
Well, there's also less partisan, at least in theory, less partisan involvement in civic elections. It's you're voting for the individual and individual representation, whereas... You know, national election campaigns, you're pretty remote from the candidates and their, you know, the partisan platforms they're standing on, and then no matter what they promise, they can pretty much reverse themselves with ease anyway. And it's a huge country, you know, we're not in the Ontario, Quebec area. It's like we're kind of here in Manitoba, we're kind of like an afterthought. Anyway, my editorial commentary for the day. But yeah, let's. But we're just talking about the number of different candidates. It's looking as if it's not going to be just sort of like a one-on-one kind of campaign. I mean, we've got several people coming out of the woodworks. I mean, Gord Steeves, former city councillor, Paula Havixbeck. There's also a lawyer, Brian Bowman. I don't know too much about him. But he's definitely considering it. But all these people lined up more or less on the right with Judy Wasilishvili's, you know, representing a leftish perspective. Or although she probably would be trying to sound like a shrewd fiscal manager. Or will she be trying to
I'm sure
play
she'll probably be emphasizing the point, I'm here for all citizens of Winnipeg, not just for...
Yeah, I mean, even, I don't know, it seems like it's de rigueur for... politicians these days to try to sound like they're middle of the road. So even if Judy has the left all to herself, she's probably going to try to tame, you know, the kinds of convictions that, you know, there would be put forward by, say, the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives and their upcoming alternative municipal budget. They want to sound like they are quote unquote credible on people on the right. But so okay, let's just start with Judy. Where would What do we expect from her? She safe to say she's probably going to run?
I would guess so. She's been talking about it for a long time. She certainly hasn't confirmed it. But I would put my money on her running if I were a betting person. Mm-hmm. I would put my money on all the people that you suggested might run. So Brian Bowman and Paula Havisbeck and Gord Steeves.
Scott Fielding.
Oh, Scott Fielding, yes. I'm sure they're all, if they've said in the media that they're considering it, there's not much reason to say that without, I mean, that they sort of tested it out, checked the reaction, and now they're, I think they're all planning on running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think Bartley certainly brings up some good points in his column as well, that, you know, that some of them, like, even if they don't win, that this could be a stepping stone for them for running for, you know, like federal politics after this.
Yeah, a la Dan Vandell.
they wouldn't be the first one. They probably won't be the last. But but yeah, you know, and it'll be really interesting to see how this election shapes up, because this is one of the most interesting civic elections. And let's see if they could even break like 60%. What do you think? 50% of the electorate even showing up to participate.
Well, it's incredible to me how few people really know, you know, why, what our civic politicians actually do, what sort of authority they have, what decisions they make, and then get involved in voting for them. Because it is the level of government that's closest to us. It's the one that we notice day to day, and, you know, when we're driving down the roads and when we're waiting for the bus and those sort of things. And yet, I would say probably 50% of my friends don't know who their councillor is, and probably 25% of them don't actually know who the mayor is, and a good portion of them don't vote, because they just, I don't, I've never understood sort of not getting involved in politics, but I guess it's people either think that it doesn't make a difference, whoever's going to, you know, whoever's going to lead is going to do it the same way as the rest, and I would certainly debate that with them wholeheartedly. Or people think that that they just don't, they have other things and they just don't really care about politics.
Well, I'm going to go to a brief break, you know, and maybe we'll just give us a chance to kind of go over some of the options. I wanted to maybe touch on a couple of the people who had been intimating a run who seemed to have been pulled away. So we'll get into that shortly, but we're listening to People of Interest, the Civic Affairs panel, and we'll be back shortly, so please don't go away. And we're back with the Civic Affairs panel. I just wanted to make a quick announcement, however, that MayWorks is presenting the May Day Cabaret this Thursday, May 1st, being May Day. And we've got a lot, lots of activities coming up throughout the month, including there's a Pete Seeger concert, and then there's a lot of other great stuff happening, and we're going to be covering MayWorks throughout the month of May. Right now, we're just going to offer you, listener, a chance to participate, because we've got a couple of tickets to give away for the May Day Cabaret on Thursday at 7:30, the King's Head Pub, on the second floor at 120 King Street. If you'd like to attend, you'd like to get hold of those tickets, why not give us a call right now at 204-774-6877 and give us some of your information, and these tickets can be yours. So that's for the May Day Cabaret coming up on Thursday, May 1st at 7:30 at the King's Head Pub, second floor, 120 King Street. And so we're back with the Civic Affairs panel, Trevor Grayeyes and Christina Mays Nino, the Social Planning Council. One of the interesting contenders, you're talking about Judy having the left pretty much all to herself. There was another person intimating named John Orlico, who was a sitting city councillor. And I don't know, in my estimation at least, he was a pretty solid candidate, I mean, if nothing else. And I don't know, is that that lack of competition on the left, is that going to hurt, you know, people advancing a more progressive social social activist kind of or do I have the right appraisal of Mr. Orlico?
This is the thing about civic politics. You know, his name has come up repeatedly in different stories. I can think of the rail one specifically, but you know, nothing. And you know, I'm such a nerd for, you know, politics in general. You know, I even follow the city stuff. It really doesn't stick with me that well. You know, I think I've interviewed him a couple times, even at City Hall, for different things I've been working on. But that's hard to say. What do you think, Christy?
I think John Orlico has been a fine counselor, from what I've heard. From sort of his voting record would align with a lot of social planning council's desires. He tends to go out into the community and involve them in decision making. I'd have to, you know, look at his full voting record to see if I agree with all of his policies. But certainly he's one of the more supportive councillors of the social issues that we care about. I'm not sure if he has the name recognition or the charisma to be a mayoral candidate, and maybe he saw that when he sort of put his name in the hat and saw the sort of tepid response from the public and decided not to run. I know in the last election, it was a very heated battle about traffic circles. That was a real issue in that community, which was just shocking to me that that's the biggest issue in River Heights, is a traffic circle on Grosvenor. And I think he handled it very well, but he had people really attacking him for that, and so I don't know if that might have affected his choice to run as mayor, if you look at what attacks are going to come in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is one thing. I mean, he survived the whole, you know, intersection roundabout thing. But it is generally difficult to be beaten if you're a sitting councillor, you know, almost no matter what. I mean, I don't know if any of the sitting councillors lost their seat in the last election. I don't think so. But, I mean, you've got a tremendous advantage if you're a seat. But it's a whole other kettle of fish if you're running for mayor.
I can remember, what's that, my first journalism instructor I had in Red River College, I forgot his name now, but he was briefly a city councillor. But then he was only in there for one term, and then what happened? Well, Donald Benham. That was a... Sorry, Donald. Anyways, what happened to him was that, and he was painted as a left-of-center candidate by Cates and his crew and that sort of thing, and that alone, and some of the movements they also made, and he was defeated in the very next election, so...
And that was so interesting. I know Donald, and I don't know the whole story. I've never actually looked at the media, but it's my understanding that he actually came from a conservative background. Like he was.
He used to be the press secretary for, which prime minister was that? Conservative prime minister,
Clark.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and so he got just attacked, and I don't know what it was over, but there was certainly, if you want to look at sort of conspiracy theories, I think the sort of right did align against him and really attacked him during that election race.
Now, some of the other people running, Gord Steeves, he had made an announcement last October, and then he kind of withdrew a clumsy introduction. He left city council to run for provincial office, got his butt kicked in that election by the Teresa Oswald, and now he wants to take a run at... He wants to take a run at the for mayor. I mean, I don't know. Is he damaged goods at this point, or is he once the race gets going, he's going to demonstrate
his
record?
He's at the point where
whatnot.
He's got nothing left to lose. He's somebody who's got a recognized name, and perhaps he wants to take another. Not only take his
where else
his,
does he have to go?
His stab now, but it, also too. Even if you have an unsuccessful run for mayor. People were still talking about him. His name is still out there, and so you never know what's going to be happening in the future. We do have a federal election coming up, that the conservatives are seem to be making a play for. So we'll see what happens.
Christina, nothing left to lose. Is that going to be his campaign slogan?
Well, that would be a good one, I think. I agree. A lot of people vote based on name recognition. And that's why why a sitting councillor has such an advantage is because they have those bus stop ads and they have money to do them, and they're allowed to do them because it's not seen as a campaign. So that's a significant advantage. And Gord Steeves having his name out there, everyone sort of knows who he is. That could be an advantage. It's hard to say. I guess it depends on how the race goes.
Now, speaking of the race, Scott Fielding earlier this month had put up a poll and it fielded the idea of let's scrap our funding for the second leg of rapid transit and put it into infrastructure, And I don't know that there's a lot of appetite for that proposal at this table, but it does seem to be a certain constituency out there that would be in agreement with that, and that could be a pretty good wedge issue for him among those candidates on the right. Well, what do you think?
Certainly, and I would disagree with him, but I think it's great to see a candidate actually coming out with a big issue and saying this is going to be my stance on it, and this is what I'm going to do instead of not making any commitments, which tends to happen in mayoral elections. So I think him saying that, and he certainly has a huge constituency. That might support that. I don't think it's good policy. Our infrastructure deficit is huge, and it's because we need more people taking transit. And if you look at trying to access the university, I think that rapid transit we've debated long enough and it's time to go ahead and do it. But he has a huge number of supporters and it was a very smart political move, I believe.
Yeah, well, I got to say, I don't agree with his stance either for the mere simple fact that, you know, the reason why there's a structural deficit right now here in Winnipeg is because, you know, successive mayors have sold the public on, you know, tax freezes. You know, oh, tax is such a dirty... There's two things that will for sure get you, you know, ensure that you don't get elected in this town is if they say you're a leftist and... if you also say that you believe in raising taxes. So,
well, the two are the same, right?
It was pretty well, but, you know. So it's for this reason alone, you know, people, you can't, you know, have a lot of, you can't address the structural, what's happening here, the potholes in Winnipeg, unless you're willing to raise taxes. You know, plain and simple about it, you know, they've just practically cut everything that they can. And I know they're looking at cutting some more at places, you know, but, you know, it's like cutting off your foot and then expecting you to run a race. You know, how can you do it?
You know, I remember about a month ago there was some news about how the streetcar tracks, like the potholes were so bad that you could actually see the streetcar tracks from the from decades ago. So maybe there's a platform there. I mean, we'll just with more potholes we can excavate some of those streetcar tracks, and there's our light rail transportation.
Done. Yeah. And it's fascinating to me how. How the current mayor has sort of played this, right? And I don't think he wants rapid transit built either, and I don't think many people on council do. They've sort of supported it because they've been pushed to. But even if you look at the news from, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, but there was an administrative report saying this is how we might pay for rapid transit. And Paula Habsbeck, I believe, was the one that raised the alarm that they're considering putting some of the infrastructure funding into transit. Oh my God, it was a scandal that we're going to pay for because that's supposed to go to roads. So, but there's no other suggestions about how we're supposed to pay for this rapid transit, although the federal government and the provincial government have committed to it. I mean, is it crazy to think that our taxes should be paying for rapid transit? Our current council seems to think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the problem is the way that the city was designed in the first place, you know, in that it's totally catering to the car culture. You know, I didn't grow up on a reservation. I grew up in Transcona, you know, so I know what it's like to drive from there to say a job, even in downtown Winnipeg here. And the same thing coming from the other side of the city, you know, it's totally about the car culture, you know, and people have to shift their priorities and their thinking, because a lot of people just absolutely hate transit, you know, they'll bring up whatever reason they want, but.
But I think people say, like, there's a car culture here because it's so easy to drive, because our traffic is fine. Like, if you compare traffic in Winnipeg to... I've lived in Calgary and Vancouver, and in Vancouver I had a car that I never drove because it was awful. I never wanted to drive. The bus was wonderful. You sit back, you relax, you don't worry about it. So you need to make driving a less favorable option, and the way to do that is to stop building, you know, roundabouts and freeways and big roads and expanding Keniston and those sort of things, make them not as enjoyable, because really our rush hour is what, like 15 minutes? Driving in Winnipeg is quite easy to do. And as long as it is, people are going to choose to do it.
Okay. We've only got about 60 seconds left. As announced earlier, Mayor Cates is going to make it known in June whether or not he's running. What's behind that? I mean, is it possible he really doesn't know whether he's running, or is this some sort of a campaign tactic, stalling tactic?
Well, you know, just from looking at him over the years in the media, I think there's one or two ways. One, he could run because he thinks he's got a chance of winning. Or two, he could also run because his back is up against the wall. You know, and this is a man who does have a bit of ego, you know, for a good reason. He could say, well, you know, I'm still going to show these Winnipeggers what this is all about.
I don't think there would be any benefit for him for declaring earlier. He's going to be in the race, even if he's not running, from May until June. So he might as well wait. Like, that just, it's a good tactic, and he's going to be attacked less if he waits until summer when people stop paying attention. And then... and then he can make his decision about whether or not he's going to run. I'm certain there are many people talking to him about whether or not they'll support him, and I'm assuming that will affect his race. So I'm guessing he'll want to see how the other candidates start out, how Bowman certainly sort of a conservative favorite, and you've seen him sort of put out there by the business community. I think probably Cates is waiting to see how that goes before he makes his decision.
Okay. And I guess we'll see whether or not the Uniter actually chooses to endorse him. Okay, thank you both. Christina Mays-Nino, of the community animator for the Social Planning Council, and Trevor Grayeyes, the independent writer and editor of firstperspective.ca. And that's our Civic Affairs panel, and that's the end of our show. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about today's program, just feel free to email ckuwnews@rocketmail.com or leave a voicemail message at 204-786-9782. Check out some of our featured stories and interviews at ckwnews.ca. And remember to tune us in every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 8 till 9 a.m. for more People of Interest. My name is Michael Welch for David Bergoli. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up next.